Our gospel reading this morning, and a very familiar passage from the Gospel of Matthew, and chosen specifically because today is, as we designated, Christ the King, the reign of Christ, Christ the Lord Sunday, is from the 25th chapter of Matthew. We're beginning in the 31st verse. If you listened to the passage that Buford read for us from Ezekiel, you'll hear some very direct themes repeated here. Themes of the separation of the sheep, themes of justice and mercy, and themes of judgment. I invite us to listen again for God's word. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are the members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Sometime in the mid-1990s, a delegation of ministers visited Cuba, of course, communist Cuba. One of the things they did several times there as they visited was that they met some of the officials of the Cuban government, who, of course, were communist officials. One of the men that they met on one of those visits was a man named Santiago. As the conversation went on, Santiago said to this delegation, "This revolution will not be judged by your standards of success. Our revolution will be judged on the basis of," and then he literally said these words, "on the basis of whether or not we've fed the hungry, clothed the naked, taken in the stranger, or visited the sick. That's how we'll be judged." And the minister who's telling this story said that he looked at this man and said, "Captain Santiago, are you aware that you're quoting Matthew 25? And Santiago said, "I don't know anything about that." And the minister writes, "What challenges me is that Jesus knows Santiago." Today is Christ the King Sunday, Christ the Lord Sunday, the reign of Christ Sunday. It's the last Sunday every year in the Christian year. And on this Sunday, before we begin a new season with Advent, we proclaim through the word, we proclaim through the music, we proclaim through prayer that Christ is the King of Kings, that he's the Lord of all time and history. And this passage today, this well-known passage in Matthew 25, gives us a very good picture of what it means that Christ is the King. It may not sound that way, but it does. I think this is probably one of the best known passages in the Bible or in the scriptures. I'm not sure about that, but it certainly has some of the most often quoted words anywhere in the Bible, and you know the words I'm talking about. As you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Those words are quoted, of course, thousands of times as reason, as motivation for wonderful humanitarian acts, acts of compassion and kindness, and that's fine. They should be. But they're not, these words in Scripture are not just about good humanitarian acts in general. This passage is specifically about how we serve Jesus Christ. This passage is specifically about how we serve Jesus Christ or how we don't serve Jesus Christ. And as it turns out, according to this passage, that's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. Serving Jesus comes in the simple love and compassion of taking care of the most basic and ordinary needs of other people, and in the most simple and basic and unspectacular acts of kindness that we can do. I think if we had to characterize this passage in a word, the word I would choose might be surprise. It should be a surprise to us every time we hear it, even though we're so familiar with it, but I think it's so familiar that we roll right through it and we don't get any of the shock that the hearers would have had when Jesus told this passage now. The ones at Jesus' right hand, if you notice, the righteous ones, are surprised to find out that they're righteous. They ask, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, gave you food, thirsty, gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothes? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the passage says, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, my family, you did it for me.'" That's a surprise. It would have been a huge surprise to the people hearing Jesus tell that. These are the righteous people, as he says, and they didn't even know it. They didn't even know what they were doing was particularly righteous. Then there are the ones on Jesus' left hand, the unrighteous, the accursed. The passage says, "Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or in prison and did not take care of you?' And then the king will answer them, 'I tell you truly, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" Surprise. They thought they were righteous, and they aren't. What gives this passage, one of the things that gives this passage such great power and gives its message such great power, is where it's placed in Matthew's gospel. You may have talked about this in Sunday school this morning. This passage follows a long series of six parables and warnings several chapters before it. And in these, Jesus uses very strong words about what's necessary to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man, the last judgment, the return of Christ, the end times, as we call it. And so this passage today comes at the end of all those other passages, and it comes right before Jesus goes to be betrayed and arrested and crucified. So the way Matthew places this passage, it's the great climactic passage here in this whole series. It's the one that he's been building toward. And it takes in all of these parables and all of these warnings that have come before about the final judgment. And it comes right before Jesus' own, of course, ultimate act, his perfect act of love and mercy for the world by going to the cross. Jesus exemplifies perfectly what he says in the story, in the passage. This scene is not just another parable. It's called a parable, but it's much more than that. This is the apocalypse, in a sense. This is a great apocalyptic drama that we're hearing. As a matter of fact, it has the most vivid and detailed picture anywhere in the New Testament about the details of Christ coming in his final judgment on the world and on his people. We think of other passages as doing that, but they don't. This is the most detailed passage that we have of Jesus' final judgment. All the great words, all the terms that have been used about him show up here in this passage. He's the Son of Man. He has God as his Father. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the shepherd. I see Martha nodding, so we must agree at least on this part of the passage today. All of that comes together now in this glorious and full power in this passage. Dr. Fred Craddock says, now comes the full vision, meaning the vision of what Christ will do as judge. Now comes, it's glorious in its appearance. It's cosmic in size. And yet he says, it's very personal in that every life must appear before the judgment seat. So the scene is full and grand. These are the words again. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels before him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And then the words in verse 32 say, all the nations will be gathered before him. That doesn't mean just countries, just nations as we think of that, corporate political structures, if you will. It means all individuals. It means each and every person, each and every one of us will appear before Christ as the judge. And then what happens? Well, first Jesus tells those on the right hand to come to him. Remember, they're the righteous ones, but they don't even know that. We might say they're simple folk. In fact, in that culture that Matthew was writing in, some of them would have, not all of them, but some of them would have been the most rejected people. They would have been the ones that were treated as outsiders, as untouchables by the powerful and righteous in that society. So what is Jesus going to say to them? Here is Jesus the judge. What are his criteria for judgment here? I don't want to sound flip at all, but he doesn't call for a confession of faith. He doesn't talk about justification and sanctification. He doesn't even talk about forgiveness of sins here in this passage. Here's what he says in verses 34 through 36. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then again, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. That's one where I slip up a lot of times. I know that. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Surprise. The righteous ones are the ones who do just simple, everyday, common acts of love and kindness. And then Jesus the judge turns to the left. He turns to those who already are sure that they're righteous. Verses 41 through 46. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, you did not give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. There's the surprise again. The ones who assume that they're already righteous turn out in this judgment not to be the righteous ones. The great Catholic theologian Karl Rahner, I read him some in my graduate work. I might have understood every sixth word that Rahner said in that book. Karl Rahner said, he spoke of what he called anonymous Christians. He said, anonymous Christians are those people whose actions are more faithful than the self-identified faithful. Even John Wesley, the founder and theologian of the Methodist Church, as we know very well, wrote a commentary on this passage, and he said, many are blessed through Christ, though they know Christ not. Now, I don't understand those words from Rahner and Wesley to be a threat to us in the church. I understand them to be a challenge to us to expand our vision of Jesus' grace and love beyond just our understanding and our assumptions, which can sometimes be pretty hard. Another writer says, this passage is a vivid picture of the inclusive grace of God in Christ. He says, we aren't judged by our membership among those who are in the know. We are judged by the saving one who knows us. I'll finish with this short incident. It's of course true. One minister, and I don't know who this was, writes that when he had just, soon after he had come into the new church that he was serving, one of the members said that they wanted to tell him about George Smith. And he said, preacher, I want you to go, this was a coastal town, he said, I want you to go down to the beach sometime in the fall during the fishing season, hear George Smith cuss. He says, as he's ordering his men around, he was a fisherman, he says, he takes profanity to new heights and new depths. He says, George is about as eloquent with profanity as any man I've ever heard. One day in the late summer, this pastor, he'd not met George yet, but he was on the street with another person. He happened to run into George there in town. And he says, sure enough, through his cigar, George uttered some strong profanity on the street corner just before he was introduced to me. Then George learned that this was the new preacher in town. He didn't clean up his language. Immediately, George said, preacher, here's $50. And he handed him $50. And he said, lots of folks come through this town in the winter needing food. I don't want you to have to turn anybody away because there's not enough to pay for it. And he said, and when you spend this, just give me a call and I'll give you more. No questions asked. Through the money that George gave that season, the church fed over 200 people. And George never entered the church doors. Thank God Jesus stands as the judge and not us. Amen.